everyone. Ready for a deep dive into a mystery that's been hidden for ages.
Ooh, a mystery. I'm intrigued.
Well, today we're tackling Ephesians 3 with a little help from biblical scholar Dr. Daniel Darko.
Okay, Ephesians. I'm listening.
We're looking at a lecture series he gave on the prison epistles, and specifically zeroing in on Ephesians 3:1-13.
Gotcha. So what's so mysterious about this passage?
Well, Dr. Darko kicks things off by talking about the idea of mystery in the Bible. He emphasizes this isn't just any ordinary secret, though. In biblical scholarship, mystery refers to something that was previously hidden but is now revealed through the gospel.
Ah, I see. So it's not like a whodunit mystery. More like a hidden truth that's now being unveiled.
Exactly. And get this. Dr. Darko highlights that this particular mystery was hidden for generations. Only now is it being revealed through the Holy Spirit and the teachings of the apostles.
Wow. Okay, now I'm really curious. What is this earth-shattering revelation?
Drum roll, please.
Haha. Okay. Okay, I'm ready.
It's the unity of Jews and Gentiles as equal members of the Christian community.
Seriously? That's the big mystery.
I know, right? It might not seem like a huge deal to us now, but back then it was totally revolutionary.
Yeah, I guess we take it for granted sometimes.
Think about the historical context, all the conflict, and the massive cultural divides. To even imagine those two groups being on equal footing within the faith, it was mind-blowing.
Totally. That kind of unity would have been unimaginable to them back then.
It really makes you see it with fresh eyes, doesn't it?
It does. And it leads to something else Dr. Darko says about stewardship in relation to this mystery.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he points out that Paul felt totally unqualified for the task of sharing this truth with the world. You ever feel completely out of your depths when taking on a new project?
Yeah, all the time.
Right. Well, that's exactly how Paul felt about sharing this incredibly important truth.
Wow. So even the Apostle Paul felt inadequate sometimes. That's actually kind of comforting.
It is. And it's fascinating because Paul actually uses a unique Greek word to describe himself. The least of the least.
The least of the least.
Yeah, it really emphasizes his humility and sense of unworthiness.
That's a really powerful image. Makes you wonder how often we underestimate ourselves, you know? What if, like Paul, we're all capable of so much more than we realize?
It's true. While I agree Paul was humble, I also see a fierce determination in his words. Like he refused to let his perceived limitations hinder God's work.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I think that really resonates with our idea of stewardship today. It's not about chores or tasks, but a privilege and a responsibility given by God. Maybe we're all called to be stewards of something far greater than we can even imagine.
I like that. So we've got this mystery of unity, this idea of stewardship. What else does Dr. Darko unpack for us?
Well, he goes on to talk about this unseen spiritual realm, the place where good and evil are constantly at war. He uses the concept of principalities and powers to describe it.
Principalities and powers. For those who might not be familiar, what does that actually refer to?
Basically, it's this unseen spiritual realm where forces of good and evil are constantly at work battling it out.
Interesting. So there's this whole other dimension to reality that we can't even see.
Exactly. And Dr. Darko even uses a humorous example. Think misinterpretations about underwear color to show how far off some interpretations of prophecy can be.
Underwear color. Okay, now I'm really intrigued.
It's a pretty funny example, but it makes a good point. There are a lot of strange interpretations out there.
But the core idea of spiritual warfare, that's crucial, right?
Absolutely. And Dr. Darko highlights this surprising idea that the unity of the church is a direct attack against those evil forces.
Wait, so by being unified, we're actually fighting a spiritual battle?
That's exactly what he's saying. Think about it. If we connect this to the bigger picture of spiritual warfare, disunity actually plays right into the enemy's hands. It weakens the church and makes us more vulnerable to attack.
Wow, that's a really sobering thought.
It is. And when you consider all the division in our world today, it makes you wonder, what if by choosing unity, we're actually doing far more than just getting along?
Maybe we're actually pushing back against the forces of darkness.
Exactly. It's a pretty powerful idea. Dr. Darko even says, and I quote, "The church living in one accord is one of the greatest blows we can deal to the evil spiritual world."
That's a powerful quote. So I guess the question is, what does that kind of unity look like in our own lives? How can we be a force for good in the face of all the division and conflict around us?
That's a great question and something we should all be thinking about. Are we actively promoting unity within our own communities, or are we unintentionally contributing to division?
That's a lot to consider. And Dr. Darko doesn't stop there. He goes on to talk about the power of boldness in sharing our faith. he brings up this Greek concept of parrhesia.
Parrhesia? What's that?
Think of those moments when you just knew you had to speak up, even though it was scary. That's parrhesia, this idea of speaking truth boldly, even when it's hard.
Oh, I get it. Like having the courage to stand up for what you believe in, even when it's unpopular.
Right. And Paul is encouraging believers to have that kind of fearlessness, even when it's difficult. And he should know, considering he went from persecuting Christians to being persecuted himself.
Wow, that's quite a turnaround.
Right. If Paul, a former enemy of the faith, could find that kind of boldness in Christ, so can we.
Absolutely. This message is especially powerful for people living in areas where persecution is a very real threat. Dr. Darko speaks directly to those listeners, reminding them that they don't have to give in to fear, even in the face of real danger.
It's a reminder that even though our circumstances may be different, we can all find strength and courage in Christ. So before we dive into the next part, what stands out to you from this section?
Honestly, I'm struck by the sheer power of this mystery of unity. It's not just a nice idea. It's a weapon against evil, a source of strength, and a way to reveal God's wisdom to the world.
Totally agree. And the fact that Paul, who felt so unqualified, was entrusted with this message is really inspiring, don't you think?
It is.
Makes me think about my own potential and the ways I might be underestimating what God can do through me.
Me too.
In the next part, we'll be exploring the deeper meaning of Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3:14-21, where he asks for believers to be filled with all the fullness of God.
Filled with all the fullness of God? What does that even mean?
Stay tuned to find out.
Welcome back. You know, I'm still pondering that question from before.
Oh, yeah.
What does it even mean to be filled with all the fullness of God? It's a huge request.
It is a bold statement for sure. And Dr. Darko doesn't shy away from unpacking those weighty theological ideas.
No, he doesn't.
He starts by pointing out how Paul, even while imprisoned, models true stewardship.
Hmm.
It's not just by preaching this message of unity, but by actually praying it into being.
It's so important. It's not enough to just understand these concepts in our heads. You know,
yeah.
We need to be actively seeking God's power to make them a reality in our lives and in the church as a whole.
I'm also really struck by how Dr. Darko describes the object of Paul's prayer. He talks about the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. It really emphasizes the universal scope of God's love, you know?
It does.
This isn't just about a select few. It's about everyone.
That's a powerful point. Especially considering the historical context.
For sure.
We've got Paul, a former persecutor of Christians, now advocating for the inclusion of all people, regardless of their background or beliefs.
It's like a total 180.
It really is.
Huh.
He's essentially saying that everyone has a place in God's family.
And even those who might seem far from God right now are still ultimately under his authority and care.
Right.
It makes me think about something Dr. Darko said about how we need to be careful about sending people to hell before we give them a chance to come to Christ.
It's so true.
Sometimes we can get a little judgmental, you know?
Yeah, we do. It's a good reminder that God's desire is for all to be saved and that our role is to extend his love and grace to others, not to judge or condemn.
Okay, so let's break down Paul's actual prayer request because Dr. Darko emphasizes three key points here.
All right, let's hear them.
First, Paul asks that the Ephesians would be granted strength and power through the Holy Spirit.
Makes sense. We can't do any of this on our own.
Right. This speaks to the reality that we can't live out this calling to unity in our own strength. We need that empowering presence of the Holy Spirit to break down those walls of division.
Absolutely. Those walls both within ourselves and between each other.
It's like we need to be plugged into a power source greater than ourselves to truly embody this mystery of unity.
I like that analogy. What's the second point?
Paul goes on to ask that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith.
Okay.
This points to the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus as the foundation for true unity.
Yeah, I see that. It's not just about outward actions or social programs, but a deep inward transformation that starts with Christ.
Do you think Paul's feelings of inadequacy ultimately made him a more effective steward of this message?
That's an interesting question. I think it's possible.
Right.
Maybe his awareness of his own limitations made him lean more heavily on God's grace and power. And that, in turn, allowed him to connect with others in a more authentic and relatable way.
Okay, and finally, Paul prays that they would be filled with all the fullness of God.
This is where things get really mind-blowing.
It really is. Like, how can finite beings even comprehend the infinite fullness of God? What does that even look like?
It's a mystery.
It really is. Well, take a moment to consider this. What does it mean for you to be filled with the fullness of God?
Wow.
How would that change your life, your relationships, your actions?
I think it's an invitation to step into the mystery.
Yeah.
To go beyond our limited human understanding and experience the fullness of God's presence in our lives.
It's a journey, not a destination.
Exactly.
I love how Dr. Darko points out that Paul consistently ends his letters with these kinds of prayers. It reminds us that he's not just a teacher, but a pastor who cares deeply for the spiritual well-being of his readers.
It's a beautiful example of how knowledge and action should always be intertwined with prayer. We're not just called to learn about these truths, but to actively seek God's help in living them out.
So before we wrap up part two, what's resonating most with you from this section?
You know, what's striking me is the way Paul links unity with spiritual warfare. It's a reminder that our choices, our relationships, and our actions have implications beyond what we can see.
You're right. Maybe living out this mystery of unity isn't just about creating a more harmonious society, but about actively participating in a cosmic battle between good and evil.
Exactly. And that's a battle we're called to fight, not with weapons and violence, but with love, humility, and the power of the Holy Spirit.
As we move into part three, we'll be exploring the practical implications of this mystery of unity. What does it mean for our daily lives, our relationships, and our interactions with the world around us? Stay tuned.
All right. Welcome back to our deep dive into the mystery of unity. We've talked about the historical context, the spiritual implications of the power of Paul's prayer.
Right.
How do we actually live this out, you know? Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? What does it actually look like in our everyday lives?
Exactly.
Dr. Darko reminds us that Paul doesn't just leave us with these kind of, like, lofty theological concepts. Mm-hmm. He wants us to understand how this mystery should actually transform us. How it should change our relationships, our interactions with the world around us.
It's not enough to just talk about unity.
No.
Definitely not.
We have to actually live it out.
I think this is where Paul's emphasis on boldness comes in, you know?
Oh, okay.
Like, living out this mystery of unity might mean challenging cultural norms, speaking up against injustice, even building bridges with those who are different from us.
And that takes real courage.
Absolutely.
It's easy to talk about unity when it's all theoretical, but
right. When
you're faced with real life conflict or prejudice,
it's
tempting to just stay silent.
Or retreat into our little comfortable bubbles.
Yeah, for sure.
And Dr. Darko acknowledges that fear can be a huge obstacle.
He even speaks directly to listeners in parts of the world where persecution.
Right.
Or spiritual warfare is a tangible reality.
All right.
And he reminds them that they don't have to give in to fear.
He also reminds us that Paul himself went from being a persecutor of Christians.
I know, crazy, right?
Yeah. To boldly proclaiming the gospel, even when it meant imprisonment.
Yeah, that's pretty inspiring. If he could overcome his fear, surely we can too.
I mean, that's a pretty high bar, but yeah.
It is.
So if this unity thing is really a weapon against evil, how do we actually use it?
Right. What does that look like?
How do we fight spiritual battles with love and humility?
Well, I think it starts with each of us looking inward, examining our own hearts, you know?
Yeah.
Are we harboring any prejudice or bitterness towards others? Are we holding on to past hurts or divisions?
Yeah.
All that stuff, it creates cracks in our armor, so to speak, making us more vulnerable to the enemy's attacks.
So step one is like inner healing and reconciliation?
I think so. Making sure we're right with God and right with each other.
Okay, and then?
Then it's about actively looking for opportunities to build bridges, to reach out to those who might be different from us.
Okay.
To challenge systems of injustice and promote peace and reconciliation.
It's like Dr. Darko said, the very existence of a unified church.
Right.
People from all different backgrounds coming together as equals in Christ.
Yeah.
That in itself is a powerful message to the spiritual forces of darkness.
It totally subverts their agenda of division and hatred.
Right.
And reveals the true nature of God's kingdom, a kingdom of love, justice, and unity.
So what does all this mean for us today?
Good question.
If Dr. Darko is right, living out this mystery of unity, it's not just a nice idea or a feel-good sentiment.
No.
It's a radical act of defiance against the powers of darkness.
Absolutely. It's a way to unleash God's power in the world and participate in his plan for redemption.
It's also a challenge to each of us to examine our own lives.
For sure.
Our attitudes, our actions. Are we contributing to unity or division?
Are we living out the truth of the gospel in our relationships? Our interactions with the world around us.
It's something we all need to think about.
It is.
Dr. Darko ends his lecture by saying, and I quote, "He prays that they would be filled with all the fullness of God."
Such a great quote.
What does that look like in your life? How can you be a force for unity and a light in the darkness? That's our deep dive for today. Thanks for joining us.